включай стабильно. Got a new theme song. Let me know what you guys think. see. Well, tonight at my friend Goldie's place up in Montclair, they're going to have the Sons of Anarchy. And it's called the Upside Down Bar. It's at 10555 Mills Avenue in Montclair. Yeah, you can get to that off my blog. Posted right now. Let's see. Just trying to do some computer shit here. Sorry about that. Check this out while I fix this stuff on the computer.
Thank you.
Hello, Miriam. What's going on?
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, too, my Bostonian friend that you are, my New Englander. You're from Boston, aren't you?
Phil's from Boston. I'm from Chicago.
Oh, why do you sound like you're from Boston?
Because I'm from Chicago.
Well, I'm from Cleveland, and everybody thinks I'm from Chicago.
You do me a favor and turn on the sound in the background.
Sure. How's that?
Yeah, you got a little delay, so people can hear it twice. But so what's this thing about the kids?
Well, first of all, thank you for sending me that reminder about tonight's show on Facebook. I appreciate that because, you know, I would not have remembered. But, yeah, there's a couple things. Bill already knows I've been trying to get support from Kennedy's to maybe do a little donation or whatever, but I know he's spread pretty thin. But Sunday, October 16th, I have my Ride for Kids, which benefits the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. And it's just right around the corner, and it's my baby, my son David. He has a brain tumor, and I got involved with it a few years back, first of all, because I found out that they take brain tumor survivors and patient family members on a ride. I coordinate the escorts with the patients, and we get to give them a day to just forget about chemotherapy or needles or MRIs. We just give them a day to be on a motorcycle.
There you go.
So this is
any brave
really...
ones that want to ride with me?
You got a backrest?
A little one.
If you had a backrest, I could hook you up with someone to ride with. I'm always looking for good escorts.
No problem. We'll
yeah.
have a police escort. It'll be the safest place in town.
Yeah. We use a company. I don't know if I'm allowed to say their names or not on...
anything you want, dear.
It's National Public Safety is the company that provides the escorts for us. We did use a motorcycle group who charged us for their insurance. And, you know, we're a nonprofit. National Public Safety donates everything to us. Doesn't cost us a dime.
Right.
And, yeah, we tried using the Blue Knights, and it didn't go well. So that's my first thing, is promoting that and also knowing you guys are up in, you know, Carlsbad, Oceanside, and that area. The other thing is that we have a bike night coming up a week from tomorrow. It's on the 12th, and that's at the Hooters in Oceanside.
Huh?
And it's also, we're just really throwing in a last-ditch effort. David and I, my son, we are personally trying to achieve a goal of $6,015, and that number came about because David's birthday is June 15th. So we're like $1,800 away from it. And
you know, I just went over 42,409 hits today from 41,000. So if you send me the flyers to my email address, I'll post them for you. It's worldwide. You'll get people from all over.
Oh, I wish. I'll be happy to do that. I have your email. I don't know why I didn't send anything to you. But, yeah, and if anybody's, you know, on the Vista, Oceanside, San Marcos, San Diego, anywhere, everywhere, come to Hooters next Wednesday night, and we're going to have raffle and prizes, and David and I are going to sell. David makes stretchy bracelets that we sell for $5, and they actually have motorcycle charms on them.
Right.
And then we donate all the money to the charity. Yeah.
Because Friday, are you going to Biggs Friday?
What is on Friday at Biggs?
Hey, they're doing for the 7th Engineer Battalion. All the guys are still in Afghanistan. They come back about 3 or 4 days before the Marine Corps ball. So we're doing a fundraiser for them.
Oh, you are? See, I didn't know about that. That's this Friday?
This Friday. It starts either about 6:30, but it's going to be most of the day.
Yeah, I take that back. I did hear about it. And for those of us who are of the Hebrew population, we have like the holiest day of the year, which is Yom Kippur, which actually starts Friday night.
Okay.
So unfortunately, you know, I would have been there, but I have to go repent for my sins and ask for forgiveness.
Word in for me, Liz.
Yeah. You have to give me specifics. I mean, things like adultery or, you know, stealing from your neighbors, anything that falls under the Ten Commandments.
Irritating the police as much as I can and as often as I can.
Oh, you don't need to ask for forgiveness for that. They, you know, that's perfectly acceptable.
I got two other callers. Let me bring them on in case they have any questions for you, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
909, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, how you doing?
Not too bad. Doc, what's going on, man?
Not much. I got Miriam on the phone. She's talking about the children with brain tumors. And then I have another lady. Let me bring on this other lady. Hello?
Hi,
Susan, is that you?
That's me.
Okay, I have Miriam on the phone. This is another good contact for you. Miriam's going to send me an email with some information, and I have her phone number now, and I'll put you two guys in touch.
That's a great cause that you're doing, Miriam.
Thank you.
Great cause.
Yeah, it's I get emotional when I start talking about it, so I'll try to stay on the positive here. But yeah, we actually just celebrated as a foundation. They just had their 500th ride that took place in Washington, D.C. And it's pretty exciting what we're trying to do. I mean, besides all the different programs that the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation supports, obviously the two big things to me are, one is coming up with less invasive forms of treatment. You know, you see these poor little kids going through chemo and the surgeries and stuff that they have to go through. It's just heart-wrenching. And, yeah, ultimately finding a cure would be the wish.
He has one of those. Something they can't operate on right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Last year I did the participated in the toy store invasion with the Biggs Hog Group.
Oh.
And we went children's. If you have not done it, I've wanted to do it for years. Last year I did it. It was such a rewarding event. We ride to a Walmart in Mira Mesa, and they open up. Walmart opens up the check stands just for the bikers and the store. We go in and buy a bunch of gifts. And then we bring it through registers that are set for tax-free. We take them out, put them in a trailer, and we escort the trailer to Children's Hospital where they have children out in front.
Aww.
And pick up, and they give toys to the children and the family members, the other children. And it was so rewarding. Some of my best pictures from an event were taken at that event.
Aww.
And many of the children were there for the brain tumors.
Yeah, you do come away from those events, and I know it's the same thing with us. You come away from the events feeling really good. I mean, you feel sad, but on the other hand, you're feeling really good. I mean, you come away with a smile because you get to see how happy the kids are for that time.
Yeah, when you meet them hands-on, you know, in person, and see these big, brawny bikers carrying around these kids' snow bags, and it's just so rewarding.
Mm-hmm,
not to mention you meet such incredible people, the givers involved.
Right. Yeah, the volunteers are huge.
Mm-hmm.
Are huge, and we really have a great need for people who want to do things to lead up to the day of. We get people who want to help the day of the event,
mm-hmm.
but we need people who, like myself, work almost all year leading up to the one day. And our event is totally different than any other usual fundraiser poker run type thing. We don't do a poker run. We do a day that is just strictly focused on the kids and the families and the motorcycles, and you know, that's we do all of our fundraising ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
and then we present everything that day. So coming up on the 16th, I'm going to turn it all in.
Is this the event that is held at in Cardiff?
Yes.
Okay,
uh-huh.
That's what I thought. Because I missed the call. I just got home, turned on the, you know, picked up the phone and called. So I haven't listened to the show, but that I've been meaning to ride that event each year. So,
well, come
wait, why don't
that's
you listen
late.
To the show? Why don't you listen to the show?
Well, I wasn't here, dear. I just.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll give you that one.
Just walked in. I'm working on the event for Friday night, trying to tie up loose ends.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll give
Friday
you that one.
Friday day. It's not Friday night. It starts at 6:30. The pre-ride is at 7 a.m. on Friday.
Ah, that's early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we said we should see Bill Kennedy somewhere around noon.
Yeah. No early stuff. Yeah, I don't
know.
Getting
him out of bed early, it's a chore.
It's not pretty.
No,
yeah,
it's not
I don't
pretty.
Know, Phil, if you don't mind, you know, with this auction coming up, maybe you could ask Bill if he'd be able to donate something, anything, you know, nothing of great value, you know, $25 T-shirt, I don't care.
Okay.
Do you need more raffle prizes?
We do.
Okay. That seems
yeah.
to be my strong suit, so let me see
oh,
if I
great.
Can help you out.
I
me,
feel... Oh, sorry.
You know, Miriam, what you need to do is, you have my phone number, right? You got my card?
You know, I have it somewhere amongst all the other cards that I have. But if you want to instant message it to me, I could conveniently write it down right here and now.
Do that right now. And then,
okay.
Well,
that'd be awesome.
I will come to meet you on that Wednesday night also.
Perfect.
That's
and
a week from this Wednesday? This
yes, it
tomorrow?
Is. A week from tomorrow. Yep. And
okay,
I have a feeling that you know a lot of the same people that I know. And my son David and I actually attended the Biggs Hog meeting, and he and I spoke. So I don't know if you were there on that Friday night. It was several months back, but you may have met us.
I have not been to a hog meeting. I'm terrible
okay.
about that.
Okay.
I do the ones that I haven't been to the meetings. I stay pretty.
Well, that's great. I appreciate the help. I'm going to thank you, Phil, for the phone number. I can get in touch with you, and I can email you, and you can hopefully.
What I'll do is I'll pave the way for you with Sweetwater and Biggs.
I really appreciate that.
All
right, well, I got to head out now, you guys. Thanks for the time and the plug, and looking forward to seeing everybody next Wednesday. And good luck with your event on Friday.
Well, if you
and
can drop by
flyers,
anytime
please.
During the day, come by.
Yeah.
Anything you want to plug, send me the flyers and I'll post them for you, okay?
Okay. You're the best. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you guys. Ride safe.
All right. Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye. I'm still here, Phil.
Yeah. No. I can see that. So what?
I said goodbye.
So give everybody a little background on what we're doing here.
Okay, so the ride is, as you were explaining, it's for a battalion on Camp Pendleton for their birthday ball. And the few that are still stateside, a good number of them are wounded. They need to raise the money for their birthday ball. And I was approached, I guess about 4 weeks ago, we were approached to that they had been trying to plan a poker run. Well, as you and I know, that is no small job. So we've had,
no.
once we got through the military red tape, we have 3 weeks to plan this event. It's a Biggs Harley-Davidson. It's Friday. The safety pre-ride is at 7 o'clock. Kickstands are up at 8. And then it's a beautiful, I've driven in my car, the route. It's a beautiful route. Great streets that I haven't even been on.
Why have you driven the route in your car?
Because I had people with me who do not ride.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And Charlie, the young Marine that has asked me to do this, he is wounded, so he cannot ride his bike. So,
okay.
So we drive it. It was some great streets. I thought I'd been on all of them. I'm a native of San Diego. So we have, you know, probably 20 vendors, live entertainment, lunch. So there's complimentary lunch for anyone who stops by. You don't even have to ride in the event. Just come by, and Biggs is offering free lunch. Should be a good time. We have our Randy 2 Up, the stunt group, motorcycle stunt team.
Uh-huh.
Lots of raffles.
Where is, so give me a little background on where the ride goes. Where does it start? Where does it end? What's in between?
It starts at Biggs Harley-Davidson at 7 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And then it, let's see if I can remember the route. We go out the back way from Biggs, and then down through, we go kind of south and through Elfin Forest, and then in a back way that I had not been on, through Elfin Forest. And then back out through Escondido and via Rancho Parkway and down the back way.
Mm-hmm.
And up to the first start. The second stop is Bates Nut Farm. And then we have a third stop at Paula, in the parking lot of Paula Casino. And there's a gas station there so people can refuel. And then it's back through some pretty cool streets back on both the east and west side of the 78 and back out to Biggs. One of the captains at the Hog Group routed it for us, and it's a really good route. I enjoyed it very much. And then the event will start.
Okay. I just brought in a caller from 213. Do you have any questions for Susan?
I haven't been here long enough to really know what you've been talking about.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
I'm fabulous. And yourself?
Not bad. Teresa, Susan was talking about we're helping these Marines do their Marine Corps ball since they'll be rotating back from Afghanistan a few days beforehand. They won't have time to do anything. So we're having a little fundraiser.
How can I help?
Talk to Susan.
I would say just spread the word and come to the event. There's more information on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I have, it's under my name, which is Susan Deegan, and I have two different sites. One's family, and one says, you know, tell me about your events, share your events, and that's the site. So if you join, if you friend on that one, then you can cut and repost, and that's the best way to do it is repost.
Okay.
On your Facebook page.
Okay,
and then try to attend.
When is the event?
Friday morning, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
It's the ride.
Okay.
And then the event begins about noon.
Okay. I also had a Block Talk radio show called Until You Walk the Path, You Don't Know Where It Goes. If I had known how many times I had to write it, it would have been Until You Walk the Path. I can set up another, that's such short notice, because I'm doing a show with the biography of Amanda Blake on Thursday. But if you email me the information, I can do a press release for you.
Okay, if you want to get the info to Phil, he can get it to me.
I'll take care of that.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if I support the military, and I am a filmmaker, and I like your last name. One of my characters in my military series is, his name was actually Deacon, and he's called Deke on the show.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
And but no, I'm a great supporter of the military, and I do the best that I can to help out whenever I can.
Very good. Well, we would love your support.
Well, you've got it. I'm in Michigan, so at this moment, I don't have the time or the resources to come help or actually be there, but I would like to do what I can.
That would be great.
Phil, if you send me the information, I will do a press release for it.
Sure.
And
send
can
me,
you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Phil, can you hear me?
Yeah, Joe, hold on 1 second. I know you're there. We're going to bring you in a minute.
Okay, but I'm interested in that lady talking from Michigan about the soldiers.
Oh, sure, go ahead. We're talking about Marines.
Yeah, the Marines, the Leathernecks. Where is she located? Where are you located in Michigan?
I'm in Traverse City.
Okay, I'm in, I go up to Richmond and up on that end a lot. And I kind of hang with the Leathernecks. Are you
so
familiar?
Very cool.
Yeah, you know who the Leathernecks are, don't you?
They're
all Marines.
Oh.
They're all Marines, and they ride motorcycle.
Yes.
I'm familiar with them.
Sure. And
I'm familiar with them, too.
I think they're all over. Very good. And... And I'm a big supporter of the Leathernecks and vets and the whole deal. And we do the packages and we send them off and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just I heard you say Michigan, and there's so much going on here in Michigan. I don't want to change the subject, so I'm going to let you finish talking. But I just wanted to cut in and just tell you that I'm a big fan of the soldiers, too.
Okay, what is your name?
It's a great
my
call.
My name is...
Pardon?
That's Mama Jill.
Mama Jill. Jill Stefani.
Oh, cool. Phil, could you introduce me by email to both these ladies? Because I would like to talk to Joe, and I would like to help out your guest.
Okay, I can do that.
And
watching the Tigers. I'm sorry, but I'm in the other room right now. I'm only going to be on for a short minute. Let me ask you a question. I don't want to change the subject, but, I was just... what do you think about what they're doing with these laws now here in Michigan with the marijuana thing for the people that truly need it, that are not abusing it, and the people that are growing it, and now you can't have a weapon. You can't carry a gun. You can't own a gun. And we have hunters here in Michigan.
Excuse me one second. I'm going to say goodnight. I have a meeting to go to at 7 o'clock.
Oh, you can't
okay.
You can't hang with this subject, huh?
No, but I'm going to listen while I drive.
Okay.
All right,
so
Susan, I'll talk to you later.
Is that the Michigan lady?
No,
the Michigan lady will be on, Joe.
Okay.
Okay,
good night.
Good night.
No, the Michigan is going through hard times. And a lot of it doesn't need to be. Pot isn't as dangerous as alcohol. And there are so many uses for it besides getting high. It does have medicinal. You can make paper. You can make clothing. You can go down the list. But one thing that you will never find from pot is a person doing violence after smoking it.
You got that right.
And the same can't be said for alcohol. It should be treated just, the way the alcohol is treated, where If you are driving impaired, you're driving impaired. It doesn't matter whether it is alcohol, pot, or prescription drugs.
Well, I tend to disagree with you a little bit there, because I think that you're a little bit more aware and acute when you're, you know, I mean, first of all, weed is for people that have like MS and glaucoma and certain things. Now, if they get it properly and go to a doctor and don't go with the sham of getting it and selling it like they did as soon as they passed the law, everybody went crazy. And they abused it. They didn't have. They didn't really have it tight, where the doctors were. You know, for $100, you could go in this, that, and the other. But I really think it's a shame that they didn't monitor it a little better and find out and have your medical situation and your papers from your doctor and, you know, go a little deeper into it. Because I know a lot of fellas and women that are in their 60s and 70s that do smoke. Mm-hmm. And they do have medical issues. Now, I'm not talking about the young kids and all that are tending to abuse. You know, we're baby boomers. And there's a lot of things and a lot of issues in, you know, like hepatitis C and just a whole lot of things from us being a product of the 60s. Right. And for them to come in and the government to come in and tell us, well, not us, but, you know, to tell the people that you cannot own a gun, and we live in Michigan where my husband hunts. It's bow season right now.
Right.
Okay. And if you can't own a gun, then you can't go hunting. And this is a hunting state.
Correct.
You know,
I haven't been keeping up. I've been working on getting financing for my film.
Phil the article.
Okay. Yeah, I could send it to her.
Okay. If you have a prescription for medical marijuana, you can't own a handgun now?
Is that what they're saying? Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You're more there have been more deaths with alcohol-related and gut
issues—absolutely,
that's crazy. But that, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, they're taking our rights away. Number one.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I live in East Point. Do you know where that's at? It used to be called East Detroit.
Okay. I am on the diagonally across the state from you. I'm in the northwest part of the Lower Michigan. I'm a troll. I live in the
what?
She's a troll.
Michigan, I'm a troll. Michigan has three levels. You've got the Upers in the Upper Peninsula, from the bridge to Clare, where the trolls, and from the south of Clare, where you're at, you're Flatlanders.
Okay.
I'm a troll.
Okay, so you're on the other side of 69?
Yep.
Well, I keep my horse up there on 69, Port Huron. Yeah. But anyway, getting back to that particular subject, you know, it's very upsetting to me. And really, I thought about something else, Phil. Not only that subject, but the welfare subject is upsetting to me, too, because these people are never going to get a check. Now, my Michigan lady friend there, I'm sorry I forgot your name just that quick, but you heard what they're doing with the welfare.
I know that a lot of people qualify now. A friend of mine, she has skin cancer, and she is going through the chemo, and she worked for decades. And
well,
now
that's why the welfare system is set up. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I believe that's why it's set up for people that have worked, that have exhausted their benefits, and this is what they have to fall back on instead of abusing it, as they do everything else. But these people that get the checks, I believe, should be drug tested, okay, because they're never going to work. They work the system. And I believe they should truly be drug tested and be done with it. Cut them a check and be through with it. Because now if they cut it off, Do you know what's going to happen here? I mean, I'm like 3 blocks out of Detroit. I'm right on the other side of 8 Mile. It's going to be more problems and more violence. It's already really terrible here now. You know what I mean?
I will tell you my situation. I have got 2 degrees. I have got experience in television. I'm an excellent writer. I'm a published author. I do I can do audio and video editing. My voice is not is not as good as it used to be. I had an issue back in April, but I used to do voiceovers. I write wonderful scripts. I've got all this education, and I was working part-time as a cashier.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that a shame?
And I, you know, it was a little bit above minimum wage. Because I stood up for myself and basically held them responsible for their actions, I got fired. And I've paid into the system for decades, for over 30 years. I'm 53 years old. I've been working technically since I was 16 years old, paying into the system.
Wow.
I've been on getting food stamps for 4 years because the jobs that are, you know, part-time minimum wage, you can't live on that.
Oh,
no. And last April, I was close to getting the $7 million to produce my first film, and they changed the film incentive program. And my back.
Yes, I remember that. I remember when they started it, and it was really going to kick out in down here in
it
Royal
did.
Oak and around and everything.
Yeah.
And in fact, they were doing that 50, whatever that police show was here.
Yes,
I had a couple of friends that were on set on that downtown.
And now they're mucking it around again. I finally got my the financing is coming together. I'm not quite too sure whether it's coming from Canada or if we're going to have to go all the way to Dubai to get it.
Oh,
because
Dubai.
Yeah. The thing of it is, though, I couldn't find it in Michigan.
Yeah, well, you're not going to find anything in Michigan because you know what else? I don't mean to cut you off, my friend, but let me tell you. I just heard on the news a couple of days ago that they contracted out the Chinese over in China to build the Bay Bridge. That is the bridge in California that connects San Francisco to Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they can do it cheaper.
Oh, my God. Do you know how upsetting that is? My husband
is retired. Well, let me tell you this. I work on Navy ships all day long. And you know where most of the stuff comes from to repair those ships?
Yeah, over there.
China and Mexico.
That is putting this country at risk. Not only is it putting people out of jobs, but if China gets mad at us, who's going to do the spare parts?
Well,
I got news for you. Part of my job is I'm an inspector, and if I don't like it, don't go.
Yeah, but everything comes from over there at the end of the day. Pretty much. But I can't understand how they can contract them out. I know, of course, they're going cheaper. This is what happened to the UAW here. I know.
Yeah.
I work for General Motors. They started shooting the temps in for lower wage, and they opened the door. All they had to do was open the door, and everybody walked in. People need a job. They will bid cheaper.
Right.
And you know what I'm talking about. It's so tight, it's ridiculous, and it just infuriates me.
Well, in Michigan, they're attacking the film. You know, the Republicans are attacking the film incentive program because it's union work. And if you
they're trying to break the union.
Right.
They want to break them all.
The unions make sure you have safe working conditions and you are paid a living wage. And that's what they don't want. Mine is a $7 million budget. The cheapest union person that I'm paying is a little under $25 an hour. You can live on that. And for my
$25 an hour?
Yeah.
I didn't even make that at GM.
Yeah. Well,
that's a lot of money.
it's a lot of money, but you are pretty much guaranteed quality people because the unions don't let you in as a full member until you know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, you have to go through an apprenticeship and a program
right.
and the whole bit.
And that's, you know, who in the hell is going to work for minimum wage if you can get good working conditions and $25 an hour? Who in the hell is going to do that?
Yeah,
so if you are getting a lot of films coming into the state who are bringing hundreds of millions of dollars and thousands of good-paying jobs, it's going to force the companies that are here to raise their wages. And that's why they don't want the film industry.
Pretty much squashed it, didn't they, already?
Right now, it's on the ropes. It was capped at $25 million for a year. And the fiscal year was supposed to have started October 1st, but they haven't passed the funding yet. In this past year, this state has lost 10 big pictures, plus several hundred little ones. The only reason I haven't taken my film out is because there are so many people who have supported it, and I'm supporting my home state. The military series is going to Oklahoma, along with all the money and all the jobs and all the good PR. And, you know, once I get the TV series in the can...
Can you tell me what series, what you're working on? Or
okay.
What is yours?
Okay. The film is called Never Can Say Goodbye. It's a paranormal romance. The tagline is Love and Hate Survive Death. The military series is called Operation Home Base. It is a combination of Little House on the Prairie, MASH, and NCIS. It is a family of man drama about forgiveness and second chances. Operation Home Base is a fictional organization that helps military personnel, veterans, and their families.
Yeah.
It's a family show.
When
you deal with war, you know, there will be ugliness, but it will also be funny and thought-provoking. I want to make, you know, the people laugh, cry, and sometimes get totally pissed off.
Yeah, bring out the emotions. But you know what? I look at these guys when they come home, just like at Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I just, you know, like Phil knows, I'm all over the map. I just talked to my son. My son yesterday, he lives in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
He's been
fucked
there
up there.
Oh, let me tell you. He's a professor. He teaches biochemistry at the University of British Columbia, and
mm-hmm.
he's going for his tenure. I mean, he's already
is he on the watch. Have they put him on a watch list yet?
On the what list?
Have they put him on a watch list yet?
On a watch list?
Yeah, the feds put him on a watch list yet?
Well, they probably will after they find out he's my son. Connected with me. But you know what? He's so brilliant that they can't touch him because he's so smooth. You understand? He's traveled all over. His constituents, of course, are going to vote for him. You know, this is when you go for your tenure. Then you have to get the international community to vote, okay? And his basic research is cancer and inflammation, how they are tied together. And he's 40, he'll be 42 years old. I mean, he's been at this a while. And I have two granddaughters that live up there. And we were talking about the difference of the people in Canada opposed to the people in the United States. The people in Canada are very polite. They listen to you talk. They say hello. You know, it's just a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, opposed to how we're so arrogant down here and we're, you know, just overall, generally speaking. I mean, this is why I didn't want to get on this phone today because, honest to God, it's, I don't know where it's going. You know, I hope your film makes it. But, you know, they're throwing us under the bridge, not the bus. the bridge, the Bay Bridge.
Well, the thing of it is, people in Michigan are standing up. We didn't get the enough signatures.
Where are they standing up? Who are they standing up for?
They're standing up for us. We didn't get enough signatures to recall the governor, but we came damn close, and we are not giving up.
Yeah, but close ain't going to get it. Close.
Well, the problem was is that people couldn't find the petitions, and now there is going to they're going for it again, and this time people there. I didn't put as much effort into it as I could, but I'm going to put more effort.
Yeah, well, you know, and I hope and pray that you make it, but I don't think it's going to even make a difference. Because I'm at the very bottom. We're just little pebbles in the great scheme of things. You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I have seen too much. No, honey, I'm 66 years old. What I've seen and how I see how they roll, and now you can't have a gun. You can't own a gun.
That's going to be reversed. Once you get a change in the government and people who really believe in the state, that will change.
Well, this also comes from D.C.
Yeah. If you give up, you give away your power. And
if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, people who give up their rights for safety have neither. And
oh, I'll never give up my rights.
Yeah. The only way we will get our rights back and get our state back is by standing up and saying, you work for me, we don't answer to you.
Right, we have to unite, but see, that's not going to happen. I've been in too many situations where everybody talks that talk, but they don't walk it.
Well, then you start walking alone and people will eventually...
Well, I've been walking alone, sister. Trust me.
Well,
I have been walking alone.
Yeah. But you're actually not walking alone. It's just that right now that we're so far apart that we're not seeing each other. But everything happens for the reason. For the fact that the reason that I, you know, called in instead of working on another script is because I was supposed to meet with you. And we are two flames. And when we put our light together, we are exponentially brighter. And the people of Michigan and this entire country are becoming brighter lights. Wisconsin, they did the recall in the elections, and the offenders were kicked out. As long as you think it can't be done, it won't be done. It's only when you stand up and say, damn it, even if I'm standing alone, I'm standing up. And once one person stands up,
I vote. I vote.
Yeah,
we vote.
Well, you have to do
more
than vote. You have to do more
than
vote.
Well, I sign petitions. I get the emails. I sign petitions. I do this. I do that. And you know, it's very discouraging. That's all. That's another reason why I really didn't want to call in, because I'm just so discouraged. Phil, I haven't called in a while because it's so depressing, honest to God.
Use that depression to motivate you. They are going to be doing the petitions again. Get some copies and take them around to your friends and your neighbors. That's what I did. I didn't get many signatures, but I got some.
Yeah.
Use that.
We
got to
hook up. After the show, or when I get off, I want you, Phil, if you could send me her, because I'd like to hook up with you, because you do screenwriting and that, and the lady that I board, where I board my horse, she writes books, and she does a lot of the same things you do, and there might be a little something going on here.
Oh, cool. It's, you know, use that anger to get you moving, because... You know, a birthday candle by itself is only a little light, but you put them enough together and you can see that light from space. It's just getting people together and get them off their duffs.
Yeah. They all talk a big game. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, a big game, you know. Everybody talks a big game, but they're just not mm-hmm. walking it. I can't. I'm tired. I have to be honest with you. I'm tired. You know,
I'm tired too.
I don't even watch the news or anything. It's so depressing. And then the thing that really killed me, Phil, is
yeah.
when they said the Chinese had the contract for the Golden Gate Bridge, our bridge here in America. And my husband, that killed him too. He's a union man, a pipe fitter, retired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a
pipe welder by trade, but right now I'm a boss and an inspector.
Oh, a welder. Boy, that's hard on the eyes. Well, you got to weld if you're going to do the pipe.
Or have a partner
that welds. But that's rough work. But I'll tell you, I just don't understand how they're going to bring them people over here. And it was.
Hey,
well,
they brought them over here to build a paint booth where I work.
Get out.
Korea.
Well, are you still there, sister?
Oh, yes, I'm still here.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, what I am trying to motivate people to do is not give up. Because when you give up, you lose. And the other guy wins.
Yeah. No, I'll never give up. I'm a fighter.
Yeah. Good.
And I'm a crazy fighter. They call me crazy Mama Jill. Everybody that knows me thinks I'm crazy. And I am crazy. Crazy about what I believe in. And
mm-hmm.
I stand firm, you know, and I like to keep it real. I don't play games.
Yeah. Me either.
You know.
But there are so many wonderful people in Michigan. And the recall didn't happen, but we came close. So they're doing it again. I challenge you to take that anger and contact. You could, if you do a search on Facebook for recall or Rick Snyder, they will lead you to groups in your area. I challenge.
Yeah, I can't get involved in that. I'm too hyper. I can't do it. My husband
yes, you
is
can.
Political. Well, I know I can, but I don't want him. My husband handles all that. We donate, he sends money, he watches, he's very savvy, and I kind of filter through him, you know what I mean?
I challenge you to take that petition around your neighborhood and ask for signatures. I challenge you.
Well, I'm not going to.
Take that anger.
I can't.
You're complaining about other people, you know, sitting around doing nothing. I challenge you to take.
No, I'm not sitting around doing nothing now. You don't know me.
I know,
you don't
but
know.
I can't.
But I am doing a lot. But I'm not. I got other things on my plate.
Let me interject here for a minute. But what I think Jill's doing, what Jill's saying is she picks her battles.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Okay, but no, I took it around my neighborhood. I didn't get a lot of signatures, but I got some. And by standing up and speaking out, in whichever way you do it, you become
bright light. I kind of speak out and speak up to what's tangible to me,
mm-hmm.
In my area, or you know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm on kind of a little different flow than you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. But it's all good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say. And hopefully it'll be done. But it's not going to change the fact that these laws and things that where we're going as a government is monitoring everything. I just got back from California. Phil. Do you know every stoplight, they have a camera?
Yes.
If you run a yellow, and here in Michigan, they run yellows and reds. Oh, they're famous, everybody. They run yellow and red lights without a thought. In California, where I was staying in Walnut Creek and Concord, right around there in Pleasant View, they have cameras at every stoplight.
Well, you know, I'll tell you right now, here's a quick story. In San Diego County, down where I'm at, if you run a red light, they will fine you If you don't pay the fine, they turn it over to collection agency, and then they stop your driver's license. If you get a red light ticket in L.A. County, they don't even bother you. So when people down here started challenging and said, "Well, in L.A., you know, they said they said no, we're not enforcing it because we feel it's unfair." And the judges down here said, "Well, that's L.A. You're in San Diego County. See the clerk on the way out and pay your fine."
Yeah. Well, you get it in the mail. Just like I was walking my little Yorkie a few years back in this park here where I live in this area, and I didn't have him on a leash. And I don't know how this happened, but this is when I had an Explorer, and there's another car in the lot, and in about a couple weeks later, I had a ticket in the mail, $50 ticket for having my dog not on a leash. And I'm thinking, how in the hell did he find out? I mean, you know what I mean? And that's what they do with the traffic lights, with these cameras. You know, they'll get your license, they'll run it, and then all of a sudden you look up in the mailbox and you got a ticket.
Right. Yeah, I got a nice 8x10 of my mom sitting in the passenger seat. Yeah, I picked her up from the airport, and she was talking to me, and I wasn't paying attention. I went through the light.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
But back then, you didn't have to identify the driver of the car. Now you do. Now you do, or this is registration.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's something else. It's getting to be too much, just too much. Too much Big Brother. Too much crap. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But listen, I'm gonna cut you guys loose because I want to watch this ball game. The Tigers are finally saying something around here. I don't even know if they scored. But I'm still here, Phil. And Blues, I see Blues keeps shooting a message in, and she's having a hard time getting on.
All she has to do is refresh. Sometimes they do that, but all she has to do is refresh.
Yeah, I just saw her message.
I had to call in to get audio, and I'm in the I've got the chat room up, and there's Phil and a guest and myself.
Yeah, I don't even have the chat room. I can't get it. Everything's changed here on this Facebook, but I have you in my email anyway, Phil, and everything. I mean, I got you right. Straight on, but I had the chat, and you saw my post, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Got everything. I got everything, but you guys, I was letting you guys talk because you're both in the same state.
Yeah. Yes. Let me ask you, where's Bill?
Bill just got back from taking his wife out to Arizona and Vegas and stuff. He'll be here Thursday.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, a lot going on, brother.
Yeah, and this weekend, Friday, I got that thing with the Marines, and then Friday or Saturday morning, I'm heading to Arizona to Cave Creek.
Yeah, see the chief.
Somebody turned 73 this weekend.
Wow, this weekend.
This weekend, Sunday. You can go on his page and tell him happy birthday.
Oh, I already did. I was down there with Shirley. Go on my thing and look at my pictures, me and Shirley together.
Oh, yeah?
But,
okay.
Oh, yeah, I spent the day
down
there.
She just sent me a message about something that was on my page, and I followed instructions.
Yeah, I bet you I know what it was. Yeah, you got to love her. She knows what time it is.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm hoping to see her this weekend, and maybe she'll send me some fudge.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the girls were just there, and I think they came up to the. She got some other pictures of a sister.
Uh huh.
And she looks good, you know. Yeah, I went down to her house. It was lovely. I had a great visit with her, and that was the weekend everybody went to Sturgis. Unfortunately, I think we had this conversation.
We did.
But, Yeah, and then the other incident, I think that's coming up this weekend, isn't it? The Jethro, the funeral, whatever. You know what I'm
talking
about.
Yeah, well, Smiley Mike's is Saturday, and I think the other one's coming up. I'm not sure when yet. I'll let you know.
All right, Phil. Listen, you know what? I'm so sorry. I forgot your name again just that quick.
Oh,
it's
Teresa.
Jill.
Chris? No, I'm Teresa Chase.
That's Teresa.
Oh, Teresa.
I'm sending you her.
Okay.
I'm sending you her information right now.
Yeah.
Okay,
all
great.
I have to do is think about Mother Teresa. I can't forget your name. I always have to relate a name to something.
I'm not that nice of a person.
Well, good. Either am I.
Neither
that
am I.
We're both fun. That means
that's
we're
it.
All fun.
That's right, baby. That's what makes the world go round. Listen, you guys, have a good one. I'm going to sign off.
Okay,
we'll see you later.
It
take care.
Good meeting you.
All right, you too, darling. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I just sent that to you, Teresa.
Okay, thank you. So how has life been treating you lately? We haven't had a chance to chat.
Everything's good. I just got... about a week and a half ago, I got pulled over because they thought I was somebody else.
Oh.
And said, well, let me run you, and if it comes out okay, I'm just going to let you go. And I'm looking in the mirror, and on goes the flashlight, and out comes the ticket book.
Oh.
That's okay. It's gonna backfire on him.
Well, yeah.
Because he said I was speeding, but he had to do at least 100 miles an hour to go four lights to catch me.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going 55 with traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it just so happened that I'm riding a bike that they don't like, and they think that everybody that rides those bikes is somebody they think they are.
Yeah. The police, the politicians, they're all public servants. And they work for us. We don't answer to them. It's just that as long as we live in fear and let them get away with it, they will. I read an article that they are starting to remove the cameras from police cars because the videos are being used against the cops. And the video cameras and cell phones and the technological equipment is the best friend of the public because we can record and basically show them up for the liars they are.
Right. And the thing is, you know, like that, the Michigan, are they still downloading the phones?
Pardon?
Are they still downloading the phones over there?
I don't know.
Okay.
You
might want to check that out for me.
Okay. I know I was supposed to be on earlier, but I have had some issues with my home, and I was having a meltdown. Now that the money for the film's coming in, and that's going to be taken care of.
Okay, good.
So I'm
glad to hear it.
I won't be homeless.
There you go.
This country and Michigan are wonderful places.
Uh-huh.
We have some of the best people in the world. And as long as we live in fear or expect somebody else to do it for us, there will be people who will take advantage of and try to turn it back, turn the country back to slavery.
Yeah.
And you just have to stand up for yourself.
That's it. If you don't, you're screwed.
Yeah, and you're not going to get a kiss at the end.
No, not even a reach around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's this about Oklahoma? Give me a little skinny on Oklahoma.
Okay, I've got friends who live in the Lawton area. And Lawton does have a film and television program. It's not the best in the country, but it's a good program. And they are actually trying to attract more films and television to the area. Since mine is, since Operation Home Base is military, it's a military series, we will be using the bases there. And we will be coming to Lawton. But the problem is that in order for me to have credibility and to get things going, I have to produce, and I want to produce, Never Can Say Goodbye. That's what, where we have the most work done on it. We're not quite too sure. We've got several distributors who are interested. It's just that we need to get the first money in.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to be having a big meeting with my producers and our entertainment attorney tomorrow to see which combination of offers that we have will be the best. Going to Dubai is okay.
Yeah.
I really wanted it to come from Michigan. Overall, $7.6 million is for a film is not a lot of money.
No.
And we were offering a great deal, and but
yeah, now when you're paying guys $20 million to appear in it, no.
Yeah. But yeah, it's considered a low budget film. We've got some really good people on board, but it's going to be my credibility project. And once that is in the can, I can say I got this done, and I can start looking for a partner for Operation Home Base. I'm looking for somebody who will take care of the technical end and let me do the writing, because that's what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And everybody who has read the pilot and part one of It Is What It Is, which is the episode after that, absolutely loves it.
Uh-huh.
And so anybody out there who loves the military, who loves good TV, I'm looking for you if you've got the resources and the connections. But, no, it's a wonderful show.
Yeah, I've handed out your things, and I made copies and handed them out, and I don't know if you heard anything from those people, but
nope.
I'll see a bunch of them this weekend, so I'll just, out of the blue, I'll just hit them up and see what they say.
Okay.
I'll let you know Monday.
Knock them in the head and tell them to call, because it is up and coming. And it's good old-fashioned entertainment. The characters are flawed, but they're multi-generational, they're multi-ethnic, they're multi-lifestyle. That, you know, I am going for across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good I say Little House on the Prairie, and because it's about family. And you've got, you know, there will be from 70 down to 70, from 70 down to 7. And the plots are not based on sex, violence, or special effects. It's about people. And most of that crap on TV these days is, you know, I don't have a problem with turning the TV off anymore. Because there's very little to watch. I did watch NCIS tonight. And it's still aces. NCIS Los Angeles sucks rocks, but I can't understand why Belisario is fighting, to have his name attached, because the show sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I've seen them guys in action up there on a weekend filming, but, you know, it's to the younger crowd, basically.
The younger crowd, especially the teens and tweens, they get their money from their parents. And if the parents aren't watching, it's not going to do well.
That's true, too.
I am very fortunate Sean Harmon is going to be starring in Never Can Say Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be working with Christy Lee Brinkley, who is out of Australia. And I've got Diane Cannon, who I believe is a motorcyclist, or she was, and Lauren Lauren Holly and Sherry Belafonte. And I'm not quite sure if we've lost Adrian Paul.
Oh, okay.
Once we get the proof of funds, I'm going to start, we're going to start doing the legal stuff and contacting people and putting things in ink. But yeah.
Yeah, once you get it done on paper, then you're okay.
Yeah.
It's like anything else. You get 9 out of 10 people are just going to pay the ticket rather than say something.
Right. So.
That's the bad thing.
It is, but I still have faith in this country.
Oh, yeah,
I have
me too.
Faith in the people who are here.
Yeah.
And vive la revolution, vive la people, I guess.
Yeah, I'm waiting for what happened over there to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Coming.
Yeah.
30 started in New York on Wall Street, but it's coming. That's not the only place it's going to happen.
I agree. More and more people are standing up. Well, like I was saying, in Wisconsin, they recalled, what was it, 3 senators?
Uh-huh.
Because they voted with the governor, and the governor, who said he would never back down, is backing down.
Oh, of course.
He wants to check, to save his phony baloney job. Because they're starting to look at him and go, we hired you, bud, and we're the ones that can fire you.
Yeah. They don't understand that.
Yeah. And... Well, like in Michigan, they have it's what's called the financial emergency manager. The governor can declare an area as a financial emergency, go in, fire all the elected officials, and appoint one man to take over and to control the area. We're going
mm-hmm.
after that legislation, too. Whirlpool has been down in Benton Harbor has been trying to take over this park because they wanted a golf course.
Right.
The city council stood in the way, so good old Snyder declared them in a financial emergency, and Whirlpool got its land. They took
uh-huh.
land from the people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're trying to do that in California out here. They're trying to make the freeway wider, so they're going to jam up a bunch of people over here for that, too.
Mm-hmm. Big corporations like Whirlpool and the Koch brothers,
I'm gonna tell you something I think you don't know, maybe. But most of the Harleys, a lot of parts are made in China.
Yeah. Weren't they one of the few bikes that were originally all made in the United States?
Correct.
That shouldn't have changed.
Their assembly,
Harley's,
well, yeah, it all comes down to the dollar.
Yeah. But the thing of it is, corporations like that only have money because people buy their products.
Right.
I would not buy
how many parts we get for the Navy ships from other countries.
Yeah. Like Whirlpool and Coke, the Coke brothers,
uh-huh.
they are, buying legislators hand over fist. I will not give them money. I will not buy a Coke product.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how you get your power back. You vote with your dollar.
Right.
If people suddenly stop drinking Coke and go to Pepsi or Dr. Pepper or something, another product, they lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Vote and take your life back by spending your dollars wisely. Buy American.
The only problem with that is, that Walmart has 3 tankers. They carry 4,000 containers each.
Mm-hmm.
They come here three of them a week. You know, mm-hmm. they rotate. They come here and they go back empty.
Yeah. Okay. That cashier job that I told you all about, that was working for Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Their floor stripper caused a severe asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
To the point I was coughing up blood.
Wow.
I lost my voice. It was for almost a month.
Wow.
The movie is a month behind because you can't make phone calls if you didn't have a voice. That stripper they use, and they use it in all of them, is the according to the manufacturer, unless it's used in a well-ventilated area, it is, you know, the people there are supposed to be wearing protective gear.
Yeah.
Most Walmarts don't have good ventilation. The one I was working in, they accidentally brought in a pallet that a skunk had sprayed. It took over 2 weeks for the smell to get out of the store.
Wow.
That stripper is used at night. People come in at night. They bring their children in at night. And that, it is a hazardous to the respiratory, to eyes, to skin, to digestive. So every time you go into a Walmart store, you're exposing yourself and your children to a very acidic environment.
Wow.
It gets in the food. It gets on the clothing. It gets on everything that you buy there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Walmart's about. They treat people like toilet paper, which is basically they shit on you and flush you away. And they don't care any more about the workers than they do about the people who shop there.
Mm-hmm.
So I will never go into another Walmart.
Yeah.
There is nothing that I can't get someplace else for a comparable price.
That's true.
So, you know, buying Walmart is not the healthy thing to do, and it costs just as much as other places.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, Jill just sent me a video. You got time to listen to something real quick?
Sure.
Okay. This one's it's by Kid Rock. I've never heard it, but it said, "Only God Knows Why." So I'm going to pop this up right now.
Okay.
It's by Kid Rock, and it's called "God Knows Why." Let's check it out.
Nick, there have been so many sketch shows. How is this one different from all the others?
Well, this one is animal friendly.
There we go.
Behind myself, I need to rewind myself.
on 1 minute. I think we got a call from Australia. Hello,
Phil.
Brad. Is that you?
Hi, Phil. It's Brad. How are you, mate?
Good. How are you, buddy? We have Teresa
really
on the phone. Teresa, this is Brad. He's in Australia.
Hi, Brad from Australia.
Hi, how are you, Teresa? You're obviously not from Australia.
No, I'm not. I'm from Michigan. However...
Okay, I think that used to be part of Australia, but it floated away.
Well, yeah. One of my producers and one of my stars is coming from Australia.
Really?
Brian Vaughn is the producer, and Christy Lee Brinkley, who is the star, they just did a vampire movie called Rarity. That is absolutely excellent.
Okay, I'll put that on my list of must-watches. It sounds great.
You know, Teresa, I'll put you in touch with Brad because Brad has a friend of his that he has some amazing songs.
Fabulous. Always looking for good music.
That'd be really neat, Phil. Thank you for that. That'd be fantastic. That'd be great for Danny. It'd be really nice.
Yeah, if you send me, how about if you do this, Brad, while I got you on the phone? If you send them to me, my email address, which you can get on the site.
Yeah, I've got
them
anyway, mate.
Yeah, send them to me in an MP3 format or whatever that I can download them and send them to Teresa and let her check them out. And then I'll send her your information so you guys can stay in touch.
A job done, mate. That's fantastic, man. I really appreciate that. Mate, it's really good, brother.
Hey, I wish I could do more to help, you know.
Mate, you know what, Phil and Therese, I've come into the middle of your conversation with Phil, and I do apologize to you for that.
That's okay.
Thank you. Look, Phil, it's amazing what people are doing, and quite frankly, just the fact that one of the songs is getting played. I mean, Danny just sits there and listens to it, and the pleasure he gets from that being on the radio, and I'll send it to you so you can play it on your show as well. It's just to see the look on his face. It's you guys are doing more than you could possibly imagine, and I thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for that.
And the thing is, you know, is right now we're on, as Hermes tells you, we're on the last bastion of freedom. Where once they try and take this over, we're fucked.
Oh man, yeah, you're right. It's screwed. It's like governments worldwide seem to be a combination of. It's like I think Disneyland on acid. They're,
exactly.
They're just out there, man. Really, I don't understand them. But you know, you've served, I've served, and. You know, we come back to our respective countries, which we love. You know, we've without being silly about it. You know, we have put our lives on the line for our countries, and you know, we come back and there's just this bizarre shit happening everywhere. Which, you know, I'm not a very smart man, but I know it's right and I know it's wrong. And
yeah.
You know, these guys are just, you know, they're just so full of lies and spinning, and, you know, my goodness, you know, what have we let ourselves come to, and how the hell did we get here? The reported thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing an event Friday for, you'll like this. These guys are in Afghanistan right now. They come back 3 days before the Marine Corps ball. So what happened was their wives all got hooked up with dresses, nylons, with hair done, whatever they needed, and then I'm doing a fundraiser for these guys, so when they come back, they'll have a hall and dinner and everything.
Oh, that's gold, mate. That's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, that's one of the good things now, isn't it? You know, and I'd be interested what you guys think, but, you know, the good thing is that the people that are coming back from tours of combat and things like that are treated with respect. And and people are reaching out to them and showing that they care. And you know, I think that makes it a lot easier for people coming back, you know, as opposed to, you know, veterans from Vietnam, for example, who came back to a somewhat hostile reception in both the United States and Australia. And I think people generally, however, education has now got to a stage where they understand that the guys went to war because they had to. You know, it wasn't their choice. And
yeah, nobody held a gun to my head. A couple of lawyers and a judge did, but I'm a better man for it.
Yeah, mate, you're right. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I think, you know, everyone who serves and, you know, everyone grows from that experience. And, you know, I was a volunteer, as you know. I spent almost 30 years, you know, running around doing this stuff. And, you know, there was never a time when I was disappointed in what I was doing. And I was quite proud of what I did. I think one of the things I'm seeing, however, and I'd be very interested what you guys think. I think a lot of soldiers are coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, you know, and other places, and we're going to have a significant social casualty rate with post traumatic stress disorder with these guys. And you know, I think that I'm kind of seeing it amongst a lot of friends. And it's, we're trying to do something here where we've got a couple of support groups sort of set up so guys can, you know, and girls can feel free to come and talk. But, you know, the biggest problem, and again, I'd be interested in what you think, is that, you know, we call this thing PTSD, and we should be calling it PTSN, where N equals normal, because it is bloody well normal to feel that way when you come back from war.
Exactly. Well, you know, yeah. it's like in the 40s and 50s, they didn't know what it was, so they called it shell shock and locked them up.
Yeah. Yeah, Therese, yeah. You were going to say something then?
Well, post-traumatic stress is when you do things that are not natural because you have to, it changes you permanently. And you can't do things like that and stay the same. And
no, you can't.
There
no, you
needs
can't.
To be more understanding and more care. And a lot of the guys are just being screwed when they come back.
You know, I'll tell you guys a quick story. About 3 weeks ago, I was downtown, my usual hangout, and no cops were around until I showed up. And this young Marine had just bought a brand new Dyna. And he walked out. He had a few drinks. He walked out and he got on and he started up, put on his helmet and everything, and he went to plow and he fell over.
Yeah.
We ran over, you know, before the cops got to him, we ran over, pulled him off the bike, put the bike up, put it back at the curb, and he just walked off. He was more embarrassed than anything else. Well, when he came back, we locked the bike up for him, and we got him a ride home. We had the guys drive him to the gate, told him what happened, and they let him drive him to the barracks. And I've been playing phone tag with this kid because he's really upset that he hasn't been able to shake my hand and tell me thank you.
Mate, that is exactly the sort of thing we're seeing. You know, I mean, we're seeing. We had a guy come into the shop the other day. Without stealing your thunder or anything like that, Phil. And he was a guy, I guess in his late 50s or something like that. And he just had one of those, you know, when you could just tell there's something deeply troubling someone. And this guy was like that. And he saw a photograph that we have up on the wall of Ian and I in our gear in Iraq in Fallujah. And he mentioned, you know, that his son, who's 21 years old, came back from Afghanistan about 4 months ago after his second deployment and got out of the army and is now just an absolute alcoholic, and he just can't do anything. And we all know that alcoholism and, you know, all those other things, they're signs of the post-traumatic stress. And, you know, the guys who are drinking and then they do things that are just not normal, you know. As you said, Therese, I mean, you see things that aren't normally seen by anyone. And you have to deal with things that aren't normally seen by anyone. And over a period of time, and you're right, we do change. But I think over a period of time, you once you go through your own personal black spot, your own personal black time, which I certainly went through when I was a little younger for about 6 months, you come out, you can come out of it as a much stronger person and a much calmer person, and you can then, if you choose to, you can then provide, you know, assistance to those who ask for it, who want it. Yeah.
You know, we have a pretty good following on the base, and a lot of guys, they come back and they run around town, you know, looking at bikes and stuff, and a lot of these towns, I mean, a lot of these stores, and I don't care if they're listening, but they know what I'm talking about. When they just take their money and put them on a bike that they've never ridden that or never had that kind of a power, and then go out, you know, they go out a couple of days, go by, 2-3 days, I can handle this, and then they go sit down in a bar, get 6 or 7 belts in them, and then try going for a ride.
Yeah. Yep. You're right, mate. I mean, we're getting these people, you know, and with the greatest respect to the younger men and women, and we also get it. We see this amongst those in their late 20s and 30s, but we're primarily seeing this amongst, you know, the men and women in their early 20s who've done a fantastic job, you know, serving the country, and we're all damn proud of them. But they come back with a wad of cash, and they go and buy something to try and replace what they're missing, which is the adrenaline rush. You know, that just, so Phil, you know it. You know, that sheer rush. You know, when you get the crack thump of a bullet going past your head.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that sounds bizarre, but you know, it is something that once you've experienced that, your body desires it again, because the adrenaline, the endorphin dump, and everything is something that is an incredibly pleasant feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I do it daily. I split traffic at 80 to 90 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, Therese, you were saying?
Well, the adrenaline rush is addictive.
Mm.
And, you know, if you do it, you know, it's a natural body reaction, the fight or flight, and you do get addicted to that. And it's all legal, and it's there. And before I forget, we go on, I want to thank you both for your service. Although I never served, I do have great respect for the people who do.
Well, thank you.
Please, thank you very much. Yeah, I think Phil and I both jumped in there. I mean, and I think that, look, thank you very much. And the reality is, Trees, is that towards the end of my service in particular, Iraq, Afghanistan, all those sort of places, you know, we do it, I think, partially because we want to do it, but also because of people like you, Therese. And that is that we know that we're out there doing things to support and to protect. And hearing the thanks from people like you is a magnificent thing, and it humbles me, to be frank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have an understanding, and even though I've got more moxie than most people, I'm still what would be considered a FOBIT. I have never served. I'm too independent. I would be spending all my time in the stockade, so to speak. But I do have a great deal of respect for the people who do serve.
Did a little time there myself.
I was just going to say, Phil and Therese, when I was in my 20s, I can assure you I saw the inside of what you call the stockade on a few occasions. It just happens, you know. Independence is a good thing, and Therese, it's something that we should never try and squash in our young people. I mean, it's what makes them what they are. It's what makes us what we are.
Well, the only thing I'm really capable of shooting off is my mouth, and so I'm not much on guns. I like a good sword, but you know,
I can tell you a quick story about a sword. We have a guy out here. He has Bikers for Christ. His name is Pastor Z. And the guys, you know, he does a lot of stuff for a lot of people. So a couple of the services got together and they made him a cross out of a sword. So he's all geared up. He's coming down to one of Bill's runs at the shop, and he's 3 blocks from the church, and they pull him over and told him if he didn't take it back, they were going to arrest him for a felony.
You're joking.
No, I swear to God, true story. Couldn't believe it. Almost fell out of my chair when I heard that. So I got pen to paper and I sent in a public service request.
Yeah.
And what they sent me back was, I'll read it to you. Let me find it real quick. I didn't know we were going to go there. I would have had it up. But it's knife. California, they changed the rules on not carrying a knife. And what it is the state is so broke that they gave each municipality the power to write their own law.
Right, that's smart.
For the money. All it is for the dollar, brother. So what they did was, I'll have to send this to you. I'm not sure if I have your email address, but if you send me a test email, I'll send the story to you. But what it is they went with Section 2010 out of the California Penal Code that said no person shall appear in any street, alley, sidewalk, parkway, or public place, or place open to the public view while carrying upon his person or having in his immediate possession any dangerous or deadly weapon. This section shall not be construed to duplicate prohibitions of the California State Statute or to prohibit the possession of the weapons expressly authorized by California State Statute. So basically what that says right there is what they decide is what goes. You can figure it out in court.
Yeah, it's unreal, mate. I mean, on my chopper that Danny and I built, the Iraq tribute bike, we have an AK-47 bayonet as the lever. We use it as a lever attached to a side stand chain to pull the side stand up because it's very hard to get to. Oh, sorry, to push it down because it's hard to get to. I was pulled over on it, and we have an ammunition box, for example, for the battery and everything. But anyway, cut a long story short. I had to sit by and actually laugh quite a bit while I watched these cops trying to pull the AK-47 bayonet out of its sheath, not realising we've put a bolt straight through the damn thing so that you can't pull it out. And, it was just incredibly stupid. And I thought, you're wasting so much of your time, guys. I mean, come on, boys and girls. Go and do something really important, like look for pedophiles or do something like that.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine. He made an old school bobber, and he came back from Iraq, and he was a doc, but he was with the Marines, and he came back and he built himself this old school bobber, and he used a 32 for the brake pedal.
Yep.
On the right side, on the left side he used a magazine.
Yeah.
For the shifter.
Yeah.
And the first time he rode it downtown, they were all over him, dude. And everything was welded to the bike.
Yeah.
They thought that it was welded in place and everything, they thought it was still functional.
They are amazingly simple people, Phil, have a look in the Harley Davidson catalog, and in there is a drink cooler that you can mount to your frame, and it protrudes backward and sits next to your cylinders. And, seriously, I don't know who would ever get one, but people put their drink bottle in it, you know? So
yeah.
I bought one and put it on my diner just because I could. And and every time I get pulled over a fair bit, Phil, as I'm sure you understand, and every time I'm pulled over, they ask me what it is. And these are the alleged experts, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell them it's an oil cooler.
Uh-huh.
And off they go. Just to finish it, what I do is about 5 or 10 minutes later, they always come back and they say, "Where do you get the oil coolers from?" And I said, "Mate, that's not an oil cooler. I don't know what you're talking about, you know." And it's just a bit of fun to play.
Well, you should see him when they start asking me what the ball peen hammer's for, and tell me it's a felony, and I school him and tell him, well, you know, unless you guys are going to change my name to Master Mechanic,
yeah,
according to the California Highway Patrol, I am allowed to carry it as long as it is zip tied to the top of the bag.
That's easy, isn't
bullshit.
It?
All bullshit.
Yeah.
No, I'm. Yeah. So I have the lieutenant's card from 15 years ago. And his number still works, And anytime they give me a really hard time, I dial them up and I hand them the phone.
Yep. Yeah, that's the way to do it. And I guess, you know, what this does also, you know, what we're talking about, and Therese, I think you'd agree, is that you see, they just highlight this craziness that is currently prevalent throughout government at all levels. I mean, people get all out of shape, you know, law enforcement and statutory authorities, about crazy shit instead of worrying about what matters.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's just what they're trying to do to you guys over there, you know, with all the bikie laws and stuff. Now, the only thing, they're doing it to you guys. It's going to end up passing. That new one that they just came out with last month, they're probably going to pass that. Okay?
Yep.
And the same thing, they're trying to do the same thing in Canada. But the only thing that keeps them from knocking on the door here is the Bill of Rights.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Something interesting, which I'm sure, I don't know if you or Therese or the listeners are aware of, Australia is the only what is notionally referred to as developed country in the world that does not have a ratified Bill of Rights.
No, they don't.
We're
the only one.
I mean, these so-called bikie laws that they've brought in every state in Australia, which is in the total diametric position that was suggested by a Senate inquiry into all of this that took 2 years to run. We've challenged them twice in the High Court of Australia, the highest court you can go to. We've won both times. So what do? Is the government goes away and they rewrite the laws. And I think that where we're missing this, and you know, one day a judge or something will get on board with this, is the concept of going away and rewriting the laws to achieve the same purpose, but removing certain sections or terminology that is in breach of the Constitution, is wrong. It's the intent of the law that I think the court is judging on. It's not the actual wording. And for governments to go away and do this crap, and then we end back up in the High Court again, and it ends up as a deep pocket syndrome. Like, that is, they have more money than we have. So at the end of the day, they're going to win.
Yeah. Right, because like that latest package, I understand, proposes the amendments to at least 5 of the existing pieces of the last legislation that is even far more reaching than the previous laws, but maybe not infringing on the principles that brought the previous legislation undone, which is where you guys won, namely the interference by the government in the independence of the courts. The latest package is objectionable for other reasons. So as a starting point, you should be concerned about the breadth of the legislation. Despite being trumpeted as being targeted as serious organized crime, can capture quite a minor criminal activity, including some summary offenses, in respect to which the power to make our called control orders is entirely disproportionate. So basically, it's just like here. And like I said, if this guy doesn't like my knife, he can write me up as a felony, and I gotta fight it in court. So basically, that's what they're going to do to you guys. They're going to use a summary judgment on the guy on the street to do the paperwork.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Phil. And it's one of the things that is narcissistic to a certain extent, insofar as it breaches the fundamental principles and fundamental rule of law that has been developed worldwide since the Magna Carta. And I won't go into history, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. I mean, the Magna Carta established the concept of rights, and then William, Prince of Orange in the UK in the 1600s or whatever, he started to really work on it. And we've grown to a position now, I guess to cut a long story short, whereby we have achieved a certain level of human rights and expectations and in society, in the social fabric of society. And now these laws that they're bringing out totally ignore 1,000 years of development of law. Now, the laws took 1,000 years of development for a reason.
Well, you know,
for
one of those
now,
things that they put in there, okay, this is I think I have the correct thing here that I received. But it says, you may also be guilty by your entirely innocent association. So they're going to give you a control order that is a form of restraint for which would prohibit you from associating with other members of an organization that has been declared by the Attorney General as one that facilitates or engages in serious criminal activity. So So in other words, it's kind of like in California that we have what they call the California Step Back. So if you and I, and another guy were standing on the corner and a guy drove by, he could call a sergeant on the radio and tell him it looks like we're suspicious and we're representing a criminal organization downtown. They need to investigate.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of
right.
these laws have been put into place to give the police the authority to do as much harm as possible and to instill as much fear as possible.
Well, what I'm reading right here is the use of secret criminal intelligence is permitted. So in other words, you got some guy, they got in the room, they've been sweating him for 3 hours, and they say, all right, you give us five names and we'll let you walk out of here. What do you think he's going to do?
You're right on the money, Phil. It gets worse is that this secret police intelligence, I mean, there's an oxymoron in itself, but secret police intelligence, it can be actually handed up in a sealed envelope and the judge doesn't even look at it. He simply accepts that the synopsis given is true. Now, have you ever experienced a case where a police officer has lied in court?
Yes.
I'll just leave it at that, I guess.
I got him on tape.
Right. And here's the other issue is that, and you're going to love this one, is, again, a fundamental principle of law is that any person accused of an offence of any kind has a right to face his accuser and to see the evidence that is, you know, allegedly stating that he's committed an offence, and he has a right to cross-examine that. That's a fundamental right across the world. In this legislation, that right is removed. You have no ability to cross-examine any witnesses. You have no ability to do anything.
And what I understand, too, is that if this guy decides, this guy could issue you the notice prohibiting you from an association or a communication with an identified person if that person has in the 3 years prior to being found guilty of one range of offenses. This does not, of course, take into account the fact that you have not committed any offense.
Correct. Correct. So, mate, it actually falls back to the notion, if we talk about clubs, an associate or a supporter of a club can be hit with a non-association order, a control order. If you breach that control order, I think it's three times in a period of a year,
right.
You've got 2 years jail. Bang.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
Yeah, there's no negotiation. You're gone for 2 years.
Yeah. Where it gets worse is we have another thing out here, which is a dangerous, dangerous thing. It's called the Australian Crime Commission. They have the authority to subpoena you before a court of law. Oh, sorry, before a secret hearing. You receive that. Teresa, say you and I are married.
Okay.
I get subpoenaed to go to that court hearing. I cannot tell you I have been subpoenaed. I cannot tell anyone I've been subpoenaed.
Nope.
I can take a lawyer there with me. But the lawyer cannot do anything or say anything except monitor that the proceedings are in accordance with the Australian Crime Commission rules and regulations. If you refuse to answer a question in this secret inquiry, 3 months jail. A friend of mine refused to answer a question 7 times. He's just completed 22 months jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because
McCarthyism on steroids combined with Nazism.
It is.
Well,
that's insane.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, it's like the anti-bike laws they have, like the old act under Section 10, the police commissioner applies to the attorney general, declared a criminal organization. But the attorney general has to be satisfied that everybody's a member or an associate for the purpose of organizing, planning, supporting, facilitating, or engaging in serious criminal activity and a gang is a risk to public safety before issuing the declaration. So that goes along to what you say with the secret stuff.
Exactly, and that's exactly right. The interesting thing, the previous Attorney General in the state of New South Wales was a guy called Nicholas Chandry, and he was vehemently opposed to these laws. And he stated quite clearly they were a gross and indecent breach of human rights. So, as you would expect, when his 5-year contract ran out, do you think it got renewed, although he was the best Attorney General New South Wales had ever seen? No, he didn't get it renewed. So they put it a puppet, you know?
Yeah, it's just, well, of course. It's just like there's, you know, your Supreme Court over there can issue the control orders, you know, of a declared organization, removing the process from the magistrates or the court's jurisdiction. So they can do it on their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just bizarre. It's wrong. Look, I think that the way it's been sold to the general public is absolutely brilliant. I mean, if you want to see spin doctoring, what the buggers have done is it's called the Serious and Organized Crime Act or similar words in every state. They've got the same sort of thing. And what the buggers have done, however, is they've referred to it as the bikie laws.
Mm-hmm.
What they've ignored is the fact that and what they've failed to tell the general public, these laws apply to them as well. And for example, we had a recent case in Queensland where I live where the government were going to build a dam, and this particular dam would have wiped out the last remaining habitat of a very rare platypus. So it would have made this animal extinct. What occurred was a group of resilient citizens got together, and there's about 30 or 40 of them, and they protested the construction, which is a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Right, I saw
that. A few of them were arrested. Yeah, and a few were arrested and things like that. So technically, if this law being in place, the government could have declared them an organized crime organization based on the fact that several of its members had committed offenses and been arrested and charged for a similar purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the danger lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, unfortunately, we suffer from a reasonably apathetic society out here, and it's extremely difficult to try and educate the public regarding these matters. I think what will happen is that as these things, get passed and things, there'll be demonstrations. Obviously there's, public, there's a lot of money being spent with public relations companies and things like that at the moment to try and get the other message out. But there comes a time, you know, where there's a saying here, it comes from the Bendigo gold problems back last century, which ended up in what's called the Eureka Stockade, which was our Civil War. And the saying is that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's just like that law reform commission, you know, in 2008 when they did the privacy laws. And who was the person they got to speak the most who said she can't live in Australia because of the paparazzi was Nicole Kidman. So they, they proposed amendments to the Act for the privacy, which basically there is no privacy.
Yeah.
That's right.
You give up all your privacy.
Yeah. It's a really sad state of affairs. There's a new thing that has just been brought in. And this is a really interesting conversation. I'm really pleased we're talking about it, actually. It's quite good. In the last month, all doctors now, when you go to the doctor, you have to provide 3 points of identification: name,
mm-hmm.
date of birth, current address, before
mm-hmm.
they can provide you with a service.
They do that here.
Okay, so that information, I mean, now obviously there are people who abuse the medical system, and we all accept and understand that. But those who abuse the system should be dealt with individually on a case-by-case basis, rather than put this blanket requirement in, which is simply, in my view, a intelligence gathering mission.
Well, you know, it's like in Florida, if you happen to be and you happen to get welfare and Medi-Cal or Medicaid, you have to take a piss test. And my understanding
really?
Is Michigan just started to do that.
Yes, it is.
Is that right? That's just
yes.
outrageous.
It's going to go out. It's coming.
Yeah, this is George Orwell gone off the Richter scale, really, when we look at it. One of the things that I have noticed, and again, it's something that you may be interested in and the listeners may be interested in, is have a look at the web and have a look at the International Socialist Party. If you look them up, you'll actually see the political parties in every country that belong to the International Socialist Party. And you'd be surprised at how many of them are the governing political parties in major countries. The next step from there is to look at the International Socialist Party's charter, have a quick read of it. It only takes about a week to read it, and then read the Communist Manifesto, and you'll be really surprised. No, you won't. You won't be surprised at all, Phil and Teresa.
The newest party, the Tea Party, they're against big government. But most of the things that they stand for are the most intrusive into a person's private life. As long as, it's their standards and their morals and their lifestyle and their religion that's being upheld, that's fine. But they are the most intrusive people in other people's lives.
Yeah.
Well, here, you guys got a minute. Let me play some for you. This is the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Outlaw Biker Terminology Guide. It's about two minutes and 10 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
Outlaw bikers, a terminology that is uniquely their own. The 1% symbol is derived from a statement by the American Motorcycle Association that 99% of the country's motorcyclists belong to the AMA and are law-abiding individuals. The 1% symbol has thus become the mark of the outlaw bike rider, and they display it on their colors, and many of them have tattooed on their person. The 13% patch symbolizes the biker either smokes marijuana, deals in it, or has contacts for methamphetamine. Triple sixes symbolizes the mark of Satan. The 69 patch is worn on members' colors, which symbolizes that the wearer has committed cunnilingus or fellatio with witnesses present. 22 means having been in prison. AFFA stands for Angels Forever, Forever Angels. AFFL stands for Angels Forever, Forever Loaded. Backpacks are whole colors tattooed on a member's back. BFFB stands for Bandidos Forever, Forever Brothers. BFFB stands for Brothers Forever, Forever Pagans. Bible is a Harley Davidson repair manual. BTBF, Bikers Together, Bikers Forever. DFFL means Dope Forever, Forever Loaded. Aggressor is a large Harley Davidson motorcycle with custom trim saddlebags and is usually used in bike shows. An 8-ball patch is worn on colors and is earned by committing homosexual sodomy with witnesses present. POPOB, Pissed Off Bastards of Bloomington, the original gang that later developed into the Hells Angels. PPDSPEMFOBBT stands for Pill Popping, Dope Smoking, Pussy Eating, Motherfucking Outlaw Brothers Biking Together, and is usually found on tattoos, colors, and even on business cards.
That is gold.
As
our people get it. Sorry, Tony.
That is 666. If you add them together, that goes to 18. Which you add together, that goes to 9. And 9 is the number that represents humanity. There is no Satan. I'm sorry.
There is no Satan, and I agree with you, because I'll base that statement on a reverse statement, is that for a Satan to exist, there must be a heaven. And
right.
I'm not being sacrilegious or anything here, but I'll ask you a simple question. Where can I buy a ticket to go and have a look at heaven?
Exactly.
So I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I'm talking about we're talking about something that may be out there and some people believe in, but for Satan to exist, there's got to be a heaven, so therefore it's a circular argument.
Yeah.
Right there, brother.
People validate the Bible with the Bible, which is a circular, nonsensical argument. I'm Wiccan. I believe that, you there is good in everybody, but not everybody chooses that part of themselves.
Yeah.
And life is in balance, and you it's not so much what you say, it's what you do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can
that's exactly right, Therese. Truer words have never been spoken.
No.
You can call yourself a good person, but if you hurt other people, you're not.
No.
No. It's what you,
that's right.
To quote a song, it's what you say, it's not what you do. And that's not a direct quote, but I don't know. It's getting a little too late.
I know that I'm certainly with you, what you've said, and I believe that Phil will be as well, Therese. I mean, it's, you know, it's all about how the individual chooses to integrate into society or to step away from society.
I agree.
You know, even the term outlaw is questionable from a legal perspective, insofar as outlaw came from the American West. It didn't come from the AMA or anything like that. And outlaws, as I think we all know, and I stand to be corrected because I'm an Aussie, I'm not American, but outlaws were people in the American Wild West who lived totally outside the law.
Correct.
They weren't part of society. So how do we manage to interpret and how do we manage to bring these terms into the motorcycle culture? It's done by people who live in high places and live in a rarefied atmosphere.
Well, you know, I got two quotes here I'm going to tell you, okay? They're both from John Wayne. The first one is, life's hard. It's even harder when you're stupid. The second one is, sorry, dude. Sorry, don't get it done, dude.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, I don't think you can beat that. It's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the bottom line that I see it is that we all acknowledge and that within clubs there are people who commit offences. Everybody knows that. In the same way that within the police forces, coppers commit offences as well.
Yeah.
Any
right.
group of people gathered together under the one banner, flag, or whatever, contained within that group of people, a percentage of them will carry out criminal offences. Priests, everything, you know. But to label and tag an entire organisation based on the actions of a few, it's madness.
Well, that's like someone we both know said, we're not a criminal organisation. We're just organised criminals.
Yeah. exactly, Phil. And I think I heard something very funny over here, and I'll leave it on this because I'll have to head because my phone bill will go crazy, of course. But one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time was a discussion at a certain club, at a bit of a barbecue party thing going on, where people were talking about organised crime, And someone present who I respect a lot turned and looked at everybody and said, "It took me forever to fucking organize a barbecue. How am I going to organize crime?"
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like another famous quote by Mr. Wayne from the Sands of Iwo Jima was, "A lot of guys make mistakes, I guess, but every one we make, a whole stack of chips goes with it. We make a mistake and some guy don't walk away forevermore, he don't walk away."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly
I learned
right.
that one in boot camp.
Yeah, that's right. You learn these things, don't you? And you're right. I mean, and this is something that's ignored as well, is the proportion of former servicemen that are in clubs. I think Philip and I think Therese is that government just ignores that and treats everybody as though they're idiots. They forget, you know, that we have lots of people, you know, within clubs and within support groups who are there because of their dissatisfaction with the way the government works. And once the government can grasp that and realise that, well, maybe we're doing something wrong, I think it might be of enormous benefit to everyone.
Well, you know, it's just like all battles are fought by scared men who'd rather be someplace else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, as long as people back down, the bullies will have their way. It's just when we all decide we've all had, when enough people have decided they've had enough, and we start standing up, like what they're doing in Washington.
Yeah.
I think then things will change.
You're right, Therese, and you know, you're absolutely right, and I endorse what you've said. But, you know, and you know what? You know, the people who do stand up, we don't have to agree 100% with everything they say. But the fact that they're standing up, if we agree 60 or 70% with what they say, we should be supporting them.
Yes.
That's correct.
No one's going to ever agree totally. I mean, if we do, you know, we're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's about united we stand and divided we fall.
Yeah. And on that
note,
hey,
guys, I have to run because I'm standing on a hill outside Brisbane next to my motorcycle up in the mountains, and two things are occurring. One is my signal's going in and out, but secondly, there's a bloody great storm cloud coming. I don't want to get wet.
I thank both you guys for being there. And Teresa, I did send you the contact information.
Yes.
And Brad, I sent you a couple things to look at, and send me an email, buddy.
All right, brother. No worries, mate. My love and respect to you and all, mate.
Back at
okay.
you.
Okay, thanks, Therese, thanks for chatting. Really enjoyed you speaking with you.
I enjoyed speaking with you, too. And
okay,
Phil,
thank
you for letting me, you know, chat away.
No worries.
Thank you, Tom. Did very well.
Sure.
Phil, I'll talk to you online later, mate.
All right, you guys take care.
You too.
All right.
Thank
take
you.
Take care, guys.
All right, good night, guys.
I'm buzzing off too. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take two.